5, verse 21. Amos 5, so Old Testament, New Testament. You also have the screen if you'd like. That's okay too. I use my app. It's easier to find. You can search for the A. But Amos is in the Old Testament. It's one of the prophets. It's in my Bible, it's about two-thirds of the way, maybe three-quarters of the way. Amos 5, verse 21 says this. I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. Praise God, you can be seated this morning. That's how I imagine God said that in his words to the prophet Amos. But before we get into this message, I want to take just a couple minutes and do two quick things. I know there's a lot of new people here. There's a lot of visiting people. There's a lot of guests. But there's one that I feel very compelled to let people know about. There is a family, brother and sister Gerbing. Can you wave your hands right there? So these are a great couple. Can I say normal couple? They're just awesome, right? But what you don't know is that they're here visiting their granddaughter, Emily. Emily's getting a free lunch out of today after service. That's a good thing, right, Emily? As a college student, take them when you can get them. But what people don't know is that my wife did not grow up with a relationship with God. She did not grow up going to church or knowing of church. But it was a friend of hers at Walgreens that said, hey, do you want to come to church? This is, I don't know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Do you want to come to church? And that friend said, you can come and my parents will teach you a Bible study. And brother and sister Gerbing taught my wife her first Bible study. And so I just want to thank you. Thank you for that. We would not be married. We would not have our kids probably. I may not have even met her. And so thank you for the impact you had on my life that you had no idea. So thank you. Another thing I want to talk about this morning, it is, and just bear with me here for a minute. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. But it's 2 days from Veterans Day. 2 days from Veterans Day. That's November 11th. For those of you that know, I'm a veteran. I spent 8 years in the Army with 2 deployments overseas. And can I just say, I don't like Veterans Day. I struggle with Veterans Day. For years, we did our Veterans Day programs, and I was asked to come up and speak, and I wouldn't do it. And I'm just going to speak for me, but I think that the majority of veterans that I talk to struggle with that it wasn't enough. I came home in one piece, and I have friends that came home missing limbs. And the people you talk to that had missing limbs, they had friends that didn't come home with their lives at all. And so I don't think that the free meals and breakfasts and coffees you're going to get on Tuesday are enough. I don't think that anything I say is going to be enough because I know how I feel. That it doesn't matter what you give me, it makes me actually feel worse about it. But the Bible says we are to give honor where honor is due. And I believe that the sacrifice that the men and women of this country gave for this country, whether it was the right reason at the right time or not, but because they served with obedience and humility, that we should honor them. And so for just a short moment today, if you are a veteran or are currently serving, could you stand? Could you stand this morning? Just stand where you're at. It's okay. Let's give them a hand. Yes. Thank you for your service. I know it's said, and I don't try to make it big or small, but it's because of the sacrifice of the men and women in this country that have sacrificed during good or bad times that we have the freedoms that we still have today. And so I just want to thank you for that. It means something to at least someone. Okay? Praise God. Okay. So this morning I want to talk about the idea of an acceptable sacrifice. An acceptable sacrifice. We read in Amos 5:21 where God is speaking through the prophet Amos and he says, I despise your feasts. This is God we are telling our kids you shouldn't hate things. God is saying, I hate, I despise your feasts. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. This is a tough verse for me. This is a tough verse for me because I thought that was exactly what God was wanting from us. I thought that that's exactly what he was wanting was sacrifice. I thought he was wanting us to worship him, maybe even using some stringed instruments. I thought he wanted us to give burnt offerings and grain offerings. I thought he wanted us to celebrate him on the feast days, but he's saying, I hate it. And so if we're going to understand what an acceptable sacrifice is, I think we got to do a little bit of a Bible study. And I'm running late already, so we are going to fly. Let's start with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had a relationship with God. They chose something different than God. They chose to do things their own way, and that brought separation from God. And when they noticed that they were naked, all of a sudden their eyes were open. They noticed they were naked. And what does it say God did? It said he took the hide or the skin of an animal and gave them clothes. This is where we see the first sacrifice in the Bible. An animal was sacrificed so that a sin could be covered. We see that. We see in Genesis the beginning of God's relationship with his people. And after sin enters the picture, after human choice and human independence enters the picture, we start to see how the rules of this relationship with God begin to change. Genesis 4, verse 3 says, in the course of time, Cain, Adam and Eve's son, presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. Cain was furious and looked despondent. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you furious, and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. The first offering by man that's documented is by two people, and one is accepted and one is rejected. The Lord had regard for Abel in his offering, and he did not have regard for Cain in his offering. While it's not written exactly, we know that Cain knew what was expected. The first time an offering by man is mentioned, one of them is rejected, and Cain knew what was expected. God was looking for obedience. Now, I'd love to tell you that that's the last story of an unacceptable sacrifice, but we are about to get knee-deep in unacceptable sacrifices. We see in Leviticus, the whole book of Leviticus, chapters 1 through 27, you hear about how sacrifices are detailed. There's a great YouTube video on it. Look up Bible Project Leviticus. Super great. You'll lose yourself, fall asleep reading. You should still do it, but either way. The whole book of Leviticus pretty much talks about the proper way to sacrifice to God, to offer things to God, to have relationship with God. And then near the end of Leviticus, he is noting the blessings and consequences if they will follow my statutes. In verse 3, he says, if you follow all my statutes and faithfully obey my commands, there will be wonderful things. In verse 14, if you do not obey me and not observe all my commands, if you are unwilling to obey me, 18, if you are unwilling to obey me, verse 21, if in spite of this you do not obey me, verse 27, I will not smell the pleasing aroma of your sacrifice. God is asking for obedience. He is saying that without obedience, the sacrifice means nothing. He won't even smell it. 1 Samuel, we read the story of Saul, King Saul, and he's commanded to destroy all the Amalekites, but he spares the king, King Agag, and he spares the best sheep and the cattle and the choice animals. He only destroyed the worthless ones. And when confronted by Samuel the prophet, Saul actually thought he had done the right thing. He thought he had carried out the Lord's wishes in verse 13. But God said to Samuel, I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned from following me and has not carried out my instructions. Via Samuel, this is what he said, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you rush on the plunder and do what is evil in the Lord's sight? This is a key part. Does the Lord pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. Rebellion is like the sin of divination, and defiance is like wickedness and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Now, he still reigned and held some position for some time of that. But what we see in this story of King Saul is that trying our way doesn't work. It will never work. But I will say this, it makes us feel important. It makes us feel like we have value, like others will respect us more. But we see in this verse again that God is wanting obedience over sacrifice. To pay attention over sacrifice. God is saying the sacrifice, yes, there was something about that, and their sacrifices are good, and doing these things for me are good. But if you're just doing it out of religion and tradition, that doesn't matter. We're starting to see the heart of the matter. Psalms 51, 16, right after David, he's confronted by Nathan the prophet. The story is that there was a woman bathing and he saw her and he's like, I like her, I want to be with her. And so he had her husband killed. This is the guy that God loves, David, right? Commits adultery with her. And then Nathan the prophet comes up and is like, what are you doing, dude? What are you doing? And so David's praying in Psalms 51. This is the prayer he prays, but he says, you do not want a sacrifice or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. This is the David that realized he just had a man killed and had an adultery with this woman. You don't want sacrifice or I'd give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. God, you will not despise a broken and a humble heart. And in verse 19, he ends it saying, then, once you've had a broken and humble heart, then you will delight in righteous sacrifices and whole burnt offerings. This is the David that understood God. Even as a sinner, he had this relationship with God. And because of this relationship, he knew what God liked and didn't like. And that's what he gave God. David knew that God wanted humility. A broken spirit, a broken and a humble heart. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Man, this is a pattern that I wish was a lot shorter. Better to draw near in obedience than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Amos 5:21, we read that. I despise your feasts. Though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. At the time of Amos, the people were combining worship of God with two other gods that kind of represented Saturn. And God said, I hate it. I hate the fact that you're kind of just making it not important. You're doing it, but it's kind of a side thing. He's saying at the end, he says, I want justice and appreciation for righteousness. I want obedience and I want humility. Hosea 6:6, it says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Most of these messages were delivered during the last 30 years of Israel's nationhood. God said to Ephraim, what am I going to do with you, Ephraim, which is the northern kingdom of Israel? What am I going to do with you, Judah? Your loyalty vanishes. I desire mercy and that you know me, rather than burnt offerings. Jesus quoted to the Pharisees and Sadducees this same verse when he came onto the scene. But when he quoted it, he was talking about rejecting ritualism and worship that is not accompanied by faithfulness and love. He was saying that these people were doing it out of ritual and their heart was not in it. He was saying we need to have mercy and a knowledge for God. Isaiah 1:11, we don't got to read it all, but essentially it says, what are all your sacrifices to me? I've had enough of burnt offerings and rams. I have no desire for the blood of bulls. Stop bringing useless offerings. Verse 19, but if you are willing and obedient. Is it just me, but are we seeing a pattern here? Is this making sense? This God who really set up this system of sacrifice in Exodus and Leviticus has done nothing but reject it the entire Bible. Are you seeing the same thing as me? And what is he asking for in every one of these things? He's asking for obedience that comes from humility. I missed my note. Sorry. Honesty and humility. That's what he's at. All these things. I'm just looking for honesty and humility. If you will obey me with honesty and humility, that's how we start. That's the start of this journey. That's the start of this relationship. Jeremiah 7:1, it says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand in the gate of the house of the Lord and there call out his word. So stand in church. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who enter through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel says. Correct your ways and your actions and I will allow you to live in this place. In verse 21, he goes on, he says, this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel says. Add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices and eat the meat yourselves. For when I brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak with them or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. However, I did give them this command, obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. They were making it about these specific rules. He gave them 613 rules. And they're like, well, the sacrifice, let's do this. This is how we'll... He's like, no, it's about obedience. Yes, I did ask for sacrifices, but it's about this obedient heart, this humble and honest heart. That's what I'm looking for. He's preaching this message outside their temple about how people are coming to the temple. They're going to church. They're having this relationship with God, but their hearts are not right. They're going through the motions. They're trusting in religion to count as their relationship. This is what we're seeing. This is the story of the Old Testament. The story of trying to use religion and rules to count as relationship. And can I say that it didn't end in the Old Testament? We do it today. We like to think that, well, I came to church and so I'm good. And please come to church. Church is a good thing. The Bible says don't forsake the gathering together of believers as the day approaches. We should come together. The Bible talks about we're supposed to be a community. We're supposed to work together. But this building and this church and my preaching is not your relationship with God. Anything that we do when we come through Easter and Christmas and we do some of our communion services and we take the bread and we drink the cup, that is not your relationship with God. It is an important part of it. But these people made that their relationship. They said, well, if this is all it's about, I'm just going to do this. And God's like, man, your heart. Oh, guys, you're missing it. You're doing the thing. You checked the box. But you're missing it. And so in Jeremiah, he says, obey my voice and walk in the ways that I've commanded you. Chapter 6, verse 6. Oh, man, this is a tough verse. Micah 6:6 says this, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves that are a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What is the Lord going to, it says, what shall I come before the Lord with? And he lists all these things. Is this what God wants? And in verse 8 it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Boy, God's putting a bow on this for us as we just read in order. Micah's right after Amos. I'm just reading these in the order they're in the Bible. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Maybe you've been taught that religion is about some hoops you need to jump through. Maybe you've been taught that it's about repeating this certain thing or going through this certain motion or I don't know. Maybe there's some fancy words you have to read or say or sing. Maybe you have this idea that a relationship with God is some big, difficult task where you got to put on some fancy robe and go to some altar and sacrifice some lamb and there's blood everywhere and some difficult task, some complicated formula. But I think God is telling us, I just want obedience that comes from honesty and humility. I'm just looking for obedience that comes from honesty and humility, because if I can get obedience that comes from honesty and humility, I can start with that. I can't start with a box checker. I can't start with focusing on religion or tradition. I can start with obedience that comes from honesty and humility. And we're not going to cut out the New Testament here, because Jesus arrives on the scene and then quotes these same verses, some of them, not all of them, about not accepting sacrifices. And then he has his own comments on what's acceptable. And he turns their ideas of relationship with him and with God on its head. They believe what they are doing is living for God, following him, that it's relationship. They may even think it is obedience, but by this point, it has morphed into something completely different. It has become repetitious religion or selfish and self-promoting or promoting acts, where the focus is more on checking boxes and being noticed than on being close to Jesus. And Jesus notices this. He says in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, but he who obeys. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. But we did spiritual things in your name. I never knew you. In fact, it was lawlessness. But we literally did the law. It was lawlessness. The law without obedience and humility and honesty is still lawlessness. Because it's the heart. God is trying to show us it's the heart. Jordan spoke on it this morning. He's like, these laws, I'm going to write them on your heart. That's Jeremiah 31. We actually get to a point where we can get good at being Christian and lose sight of being with God. We can get to a point to where we are good at being a Christian and lose sight of actually being with Christ. When God is talking about obedience, he is talking about the things that keep us close to him, the things that we do to follow him. And then in verse 24, 25 there, it says, so hear these words of mine and act on them, and you will be a wise man building on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. He talks about obedience. He says in Mark 7, verse 5, the Pharisees and scribes came and said, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They're saying the right things. They're doing the right things. Everything looks right, but their heart is far from me. He's saying that being with God should be more important than tradition. Being with God is more important than religion. Being with God is more important than doing for God. In fact, can I say that doing for God should come out of being with God? When we start with doing and hoping that that will get us to being, that's the problem we read about in the unacceptable sacrifice. The acceptable sacrifice starts with being with God, and out of that we're like, okay, God, I'm getting closer to you. I've approached you with honesty and humility. I'm little by little, I'm taking steps to you, and won't you be surprised when God says, hey, what about this? There's a person here that might need a little help. Like, oh, I'm going to do that. Because it comes from being with God instead of doing for God. Being before doing. And then Jesus does what he came to do. He was killed. He becomes our sacrifice. Little ironic, isn't it? The whole Bible, the whole thousands of years, I reject it, I reject it, I reject it, I reject it. It's not good enough. Your heart's in the wrong place. It's almost as if he's saying, okay, people, you keep making it about this stupid sacrifice and these rituals. Let me take that excuse away from you. I will be the sacrifice for everyone and for all time. You need to realize it's not about the sacrifice. You need to realize it isn't about the suit and the tie. You need to realize it isn't about checking some box or some ritual. It's not about that. It's that I want to be with you. And I'm just looking for you to start with honesty and humility. That's what I'm looking for. I will be the sacrifice. In Philippians 2:7, it says, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant. This is God, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death on a cross. I'll be your sacrifice, and I'll show you what humility and honesty looks like. The foundation of a relationship with God is obedience that comes from honesty and integrity. God is still looking for obedience that comes from honesty and integrity. In Hebrews 10:5, the writer talks, and he's quoting Jesus, but Jesus is saying this. Jesus is like, you don't want the sacrifice. You didn't delight in burnt offerings. Jesus said, I've come to do your will. I've come to be the sacrifice. God is still looking for obedience that comes from honesty and humility. Can I say it's disappointing for me? It's disappointing to read all the unacceptable sacrifices. I think we could even walk away discouraged. I think it'd be easy to walk away if you did this study yourself and found every verse like, well, this is dumb. Like, nothing's good enough. Why am I trying? What is it? Why do I keep doing this thing for this religion or this church or this tradition? What is this? Like, this is, okay, if nothing's accepted, then why does it matter? It could be discouraging. But can I say, I think it's encouraging. I think it's encouraging to know, one, the things that God is not looking for. I wish my wife, when we got married on day one, had created a list. Do not do these things. That would have been helpful. And do these things. But it's encouraging to me because it makes it simpler for me. It's encouraging to me because I think sometimes we come to God and we say, well, God, it's been a long time. And I might be too old. And I don't know this whole religion, and I don't know all the rules, and maybe this is my first time in church, and there were people like standing and raising their hand, like, that's okay. God's like, no, don't worry about them. Don't worry about everybody else. You know what? I'm just looking for you to approach me with honesty and humility. It's like, well, that takes the load off right there. That's super, like, pressure relieving for my life. That he's looking for honesty and integrity. He's looking for us to follow him. He's looking for this relationship, and he's trying to tell you, person that I love, it's not about some big fancy task you have to complete. But if you will just come and approach me with honesty and integrity, I will meet you there. And that can be the beginning or the restart of a relationship with him. Let's stand this morning.